Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, come and drink a little bit of water here this morning. It was almost 60 degrees yesterday in Ohio. It's December 15th, right? It's almost 60 degrees. I spent some time out cutting some firewood, doing some work outside. Came home, took a good old, got one of those new saunas and sat in that sauna for a while, sweat everything out of me. I forgot, well, I didn't replenish. So replenishing here this morning. Do you believe we pay money for water? Pay water for it? Money for water, dollar a bottle, whatever it is. Well, it's not that much. So up and running at it today, December 15th. My goodness, 10 days till Christmas. Crazy, crazy. Hey, OJ, I haven't heard from OJ this morning, but I heard from him last night. I got to tell you, I was really, really worried yesterday about OJ and Dorita both. I was really worried about him because OJ's oxygen level wasn't. You got to watch those things. Get one of those little things you put on there and measure your oxygen. And OJ's oxygen was dipping pretty not good. And from what I understand, maybe his oxygen meter wasn't working properly. I'm secondhand information here. But last I heard last night, he was bouncing back. He was feeling better, bouncing back. His oxygen levels were coming back up. Friends, listen, I don't know how to say this. I do know how to say this. This is so convoluted because OJ and Dorita, they've been on all the protocols. They've been doing all the right things. They have. I want you to understand that the protocol doesn't keep you from getting something. It's not, it's preventative in that it isn't going to be able to be as severe as what it might be. Am I making sense? It's not like you're taking something that's going to keep you from getting whatever's going around. First of all, there's so many variants. As I've said often, this is no longer COVID-19. When you get a flu shot every year, back in the good old days, you got a flu shot every year because last year's flu mutated. And last year's flu is not this year's flu. So the flu shot was always a year behind. So we can know this about this thing they're calling COVID, how whatever it is, it has already mutated probably at least twice. So the original COVID that is around, was around, probably isn't what we're dealing with today. It's some type of mutation off of it. And I will stand, Dr. Peter McCullough, Joe Rogan had Peter McCullough on last night. Bear with me. Stream of consciousness here last night. Dr. Peter McCullough. 2 hours on with Joe Rogan of all things. I had somebody, hang on, bear with me. I get this out of nowhere. I got an email, text message from someone, I won't say who it is, said, have you seen this? Now, this is a person that I've had a hard time red pilling, if you know what I'm talking about. They always think I'm crazy, conspiracy theorist, right? And I look at my email and or the text message. Well, hang on a second. Let me read it to you as it came to me. I'm sorry. It came to me as this. I couldn't believe what I was reading from this person. It says he sent me the video of this person sent me the video of Peter McCullough, which will soon be posted on our website, I hope. And he said, did you know that they shut down early COVID treatment to push the vaccine? Now, this is, I've been saying, how long have I been saying this to this person, right? How long have I been saying? And they send it to me. And I said, whoa, what? He said, did you see Joe Rogan on Spotify interview Peter McCullough? I said, I can't believe it. He said, they banned hydroxychloroquine, even though it had been on the market for years and had been proven safe. They stopped pre-hospital treatment. The doctor says it could have saved 85% of the deaths by the time they got to the hospital with no treatment, but it was too late. This is somebody I've been saying this for how long is now repeating it back to me. Folks, is the story about to be burst open? Because if this guy sees it, you get it. Now, I asked Spencer, I don't know if he can do it, to put that Joe Rogan interview. And the reason I said I don't know if he can do it, because it's on Spotify. I'd never even heard, I mean, I'd heard of Spotify, but I didn't know what Spotify was. And so this video, Joe Rogan evidently is on Spotify. Well, you have to download Spotify. So, Spence, I don't know if he can capture it or not. It was 2.5 hours. It was fascinating telling us. Peter McCullough asked this question. He said, in all of the goings on that we've watched, in all the goings on, does anybody, have you seen anybody where the president of the United States or anybody would call all the great healthcare minds together and say, how can we treat this thing? He said, from the very beginning, it was never about treatment. It was always about vaccine. From the very beginning of this outbreak. It's fascinating, man. 2.5 hours. And it is not, you can't speed it up. It's not like one of those, let's go double time. Huh? I was fascinated. But I was encouraged more than anything that the guy who sent me the email was repeating stuff to me that I've been. Can anybody out there say amen? Folks, there's a rude awakening that's beginning to take place.
Amen.
A rude awakening. Let me show you something. So amen. He said that to me. And I said, oh, yeah, have you seen this? Spencer, pull up men's hearts failing them for fear. I sent this to him after that. I'm working. Hey, I got one. I think I caught one. You with me? Spencer, click on this. Click on that video there. It's about 2 minutes.
Senior is in the hospital after collapsing on the tennis courts.
Breaking new details on the deaths of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
The Kennedy High community mourning tonight after one of their high school football players died.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice.
Star college basketball player collapsing on the court. We want to warn you, the video may be difficult to watch.
Florida Gators star Keyontae Johnson collapsing during the game.
A West Catholic high school student has died after collapsing during a football scrimmage.
On mile 8, she suddenly felt fuzzy and blacked out.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
Collapsing during Friday night's football game.
Now you just got to read. They're going to flash different headlines in front of you now. Footballer collapses in a match. Boy collapses during football. Collapses.
The reason for his collapse is unknown.
The reason why Manny collapsed in the first place still isn't known.
Very sick. 80% of the league is vaccinated. 20-year-old professional football player.
They might be wondering how someone in such great shape could suffer cardiac arrest.
It's a rare thing that happens.
Two heart attacks in a few hours. Player suffers double cardiac arrest. Football player collapses from cardiac arrest. These are the headlines I'm reading to you, friends. Cardiac arrest, cardiac exam, cardiac arrest, cardiac exam, cardiac arrest. Just one of those tragedies. Sudden death. Athlete dies. 12-year-old dies. Acosta dies. Suddenly dies. Player dies. Player dies. Runner died. Team died. Sports manager dies. Perone dies. Athlete dies.
Nope. For this race?
Absolutely not. She felt like she's in the best shape of her life.
That's incredible.
More headlines. Football player dies. Passed away in seconds. Death of a football player. Fell unconscious. Heart surgery. Collapsing on pitch. Tragedy on the pitch. Heart condition. Heart attack on the field. Passed away. I can't keep up with it. It's going so fast. Folks, they can't continue to hide this from us. These are all different cases.
USC
wants you referee in the corner.
You've got to be careful.
Tennis player at the top.
He collapsed. He collapsed.
Referee.
We have a player down.
Something happened to one of the referees. We've had a heartbreaking situation here.
How long, friends? There's a rude awakening, as my friend John Barnett says. There's a rude awakening before a great awakening. Now, hopefully we're getting the Peter McCullough interview up there. By the way, Peter McCullough was on a Zoom call with me in Ohio, Brett, and Dr. Sherry when we first kicked off thechristianrevolution.net. So, hey, hate to tell you, we've been on top of it all. Come on in, Kevin.
And now you see the reason for the censorship. And the censorship is, you see how effective it is, but it's only effective on people who are not willing to do their homework and dig for the truth.
Got one,
right?
Kevin. Yeah. I got one popped up on my phone. Right. So did you see this?
Hey, look, coach, there's an old European saying, the truth has a big mouth. Eventually, Amen. It's going to scream to be told. So there you go, brother.
Well, I like the other truth, and that says there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Ain't going to be no secrets, boys and girls. This is going to all come out. Go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to say that I heard late last night, that the FCC is working with the post office, and they will be stopping all shipments of ivermectin.
Yep. Tracy, by the way, Dr. Peter McCullough talks about that and how that whole thing came about, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and he... Well, whatever. I mean, it's, oh, boy, boy. Hey, folks, I'm excited this morning. People are beginning to awaken. Let's see what I want to show. Go ahead, Naomi. I'm sorry.
So I'm involved in an exercise class, and Monday, one of the ladies, I'm the only one that's not vaxxed and are jabbed. The Monday, one of the ladies told us she had gone Friday for her third booster, and now they're telling her she'll probably need a fourth one. And everybody else was shaking their heads and saying, Fauci needs to be fired. But she's sweating now, and she's like, I don't sweat. Why am I sweating? They do not want to make the correlation between the two, but they're starting to pick up that something's not right.
Folks, listen, Peter McCullough said, Dr. Peter McCullough, he is the expert of experts, okay? Doctor, are you hearing me, friends? He said it is physically impossible to get COVID twice. Cannot happen. Now, I know some of you out there are saying, well, that's crazy. I had it twice. No, you didn't. You got a test that said you had it twice. He said it is physically impossible. You cannot get COVID twice. And he said the only thing that we should rest our hopes on is the fact that those of us who have had natural COVID have a forever immunity against it. Natural immunity, forever immunity against it. Fascinating stuff, folks. So those of you who said, well, I've had it twice. I know I had it. No, you didn't. He says it's impossible to get it twice, that you build up an immunity to it. And he also said it's the vaccinated who are the dangerous ones. That's where all these variants are coming from. It's the people who've been vaccinated, and then their own system creates this new thing. They're calling it a variant, one variant, as if there's just one variant. No. There's more variants because you've been given the shot, and your own system creating a Frankenstein monster. So praise the Lord, all of you have had it. Natural immunity, he said, is for life. I don't know how I got on this subject. I didn't mean to jump on this. Go ahead, Paul, real quick. Go ahead. Paul, then Keith.
Yeah, Coach, I don't know. What's so funny is those reporters, John was in perfect health, and he just
what happened?
Yeah. But also, too, 37 NBA players have now tested positive for COVID. And then also the Browns.
16 Cleveland Browns can't play this week because they had a test that said they have COVID. None of them sick.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Interesting.
Well, let's not. I don't know if we can get that Joe Rogan video. I hate to keep repeating it. It's worth the 2 hours, man. It's worth the 2 hours. Keith, come on in.
Yeah, Alex Jones was interviewing a Dr. Merritt.
Dr. Merritt, Lee Merritt.
And she was making connections back to the 1914-18 Spanish flu that started in Kansas. And that a lot of people that were the telegraphers were coming down sick with the electromagnetic emissions from the telegraph. And she was making the connection with 5G.
5G. Yep, it's all. See, the Dr. McCullough thing he said, it was really, I began to think about it. He said, wouldn't you think that the National Institute of Health, if we have this pandemic that's coming, he said, wouldn't you think that they would gather some of the most brilliant scientific minds in the world to figure out how to stop this thing? And he didn't. Didn't even gather them. A call didn't even go out. Not about treatment. It was all vaccines from the very beginning, folks. Very beginning. Now, Dr. Zelenko, these guys have had when Dr. Zelenko or Stella Emanuel, when they came up, started talking about hydroxychloroquine, instead of getting gather a bunch of doctors together and studying it real quick, does hydroxychloroquine work? Will this ivermectin, will it work? No, 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 no. They immediately said, no, 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 that doesn't work. No tests, no study, no people coming together. Folks, this thing is absolutely unbelievably wicked. Come on in, Bobby.
I'm sorry. I think it's best for us to be sick at this point because it's being reported, like Fox News is reporting the shortage on meds at the pharmaceuticals. So it's better to be sick now as opposed to a couple few months from now when even more people are dying and we can't get stuff.
Lifetime immunity, Bobby. Lifetime immunity. Now, he did say that you can be picking up some variant off of somebody who's been vaccinated. That you may get something again, but whatever's out there now ain't COVID, friends. It isn't COVID, okay? I don't know how we can. I don't know how they call what OJ had. I'm not telling stories on OJ. They called it a COVID pneumonia. Can anybody explain to me what a COVID pneumonia is? Well, Dr. Peter McCullough tells us it's blood clots. We knew that, right? Didn't we know that? It's blood clots. COVID pneumonia is blood clots. People are dropping over dead. Why are they dropping over dead? Blood clots. Blood clots. Come on in, Myra. Then Jeff.
Good morning, Saints. How are you? Well, some of those shots are placebos. I know many people have taken it. No, it's like nothing is hitting them. I think God's protection is upon them. And I just praise the Lord that I will say most of us in the call, we did not bow our knees to the devil. So I'm so glad.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks. We're God winning.
Yes.
Listen, if you knew the fun text message I got from this guy, I'm telling you, we're winning. He's telling me everything I've been telling him. He's telling me we're nuts. Brett, I haven't forgot about you. Hang in there, man. Jeff, quickly. Then Kevin, then Joe, and then I got to move. Go.
Coach, the principal at the school board meeting last night had a mask on. And these people think they're so intelligent. He says, well, I was around somebody that tested positive. So I have to wear this mask till the end of the year. I will be wearing, and they all laughed. Me and Tom looked at each other like, you fools.
They don't get it, man. It's a strong delusion. They believe a lie. Programming. McCullough talks about. Come on in, Kevin. Kevin and then Joe.
Yeah, so Coach, you were saying how, like, notice, you know, like the NIH and the CDC, they never brought together like a conglomerate of doctors or anything, right? But notice where that did happen. It happened on the grassroots level. You had hundreds of doctors around the country and around the world who actually do care about their patients and do care to defeat this thing. They came together behind the scenes, and they've been networking and talking to each other and having meetings and Zoom calls and everything. And look at how the Lord has brought these people together. And one common denominator I've noticed in those meetings, you've sat in those meetings too, is mentioning of God and Jesus and the Lord. And it's, and so that's something where I've seen the Lord do a, do an end run around the enemy and bring all those folks together. And now they have professional ties with each other that they didn't have before.
Amen. Rude awakening before a great awakening, friends. A rude. Why? Because people are looking around. Friends get sick. And isn't it amazing how when a friend gets sick, you all of a sudden turn to the Lord? Isn't that something? Yeah, family members would say, well, Mark, would you pray for my dad? People that aren't even saved. People don't even know Jesus. Would you say a prayer for my dad? So deep inside, people have an understanding of it, folks. This is going to be to God's glory. Man, oh, man, oh, man. We are in the midst of rude awakening leading to a great awakening. Joe Allen, come on in.
Yeah, I think Fauci ought to get the Pulitzer Prize because we haven't had flu in almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing.
Fauci's going to be hanging from someplace when this whole thing's over, when people realize exactly what's happened. The rage is going to be like something we have never, ever seen. Randy, come on in quickly.
Yeah, Coach, one more thing. When this all plays out and the delusion is evident and it's uncovered, who do you think is going to lose credibility, Coach? The false prophets, their platforms are over.
Amen.
This is the whole purpose that this it has to have a delusion. That's part of the rude awakening, Coach, the delusion. You can't have no one come out of the fake if they don't believe the delusion for a while. So it's going to all happen.
So, Randy, listen, I hate to go here, but you know me, we'll go there, right? How do you ever trust a pastor that didn't see this delusion? I'm going to say that again. How can you not trust a man of God who couldn't see what this is all about from the very, very, very beginning? How can you trust
him? Churches will be empty, Coach. I mean, it's going to happen.
Well,
the church is coming out of it, Coach. This is they're part of the delusion. I mean, it's going to be empty.
We're going to lead it out there. We're going to lead it out. Jerry, quickly, MPH Digital, that's Mel. Is that Mel? Who is it? I forget all of them. Put your name in there. And Bernie. Got to remember everybody's slogan here.
This is Melon. I'm just going to hop in. If the pastors did know it, why didn't they say anything?
That's right. Either way, they don't look good, do they, Mel? Either way, they don't look good. Bernie?
My question is, how can you trust a pastor who at this point in the game hasn't repented before his congregation for not standing up?
Amen. Amen.
Right. If you didn't know then, how can you not know now?
How can you not know now? How can it continue to? I'm with you. Okay, listen. I want to switch gears real quick. When Rochelle wants to get in, go ahead, Rochelle.
Just real quick, hold President Trump to the same type of standards that you're holding these pastors to.
Explain that one.
When it comes to this vaccine,
I don't think. Well, I'm not defending President
Trump. He's still pushing that.
Well, but he certainly shouldn't have the discernment of a pastor, should he? That would be my point.
I know, but.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Well, remember,
I wouldn't compare Trump to a pastor. I get what you're saying. Trump's still pushing it. Why is Trump still pushing it? Huh? Why is he still pushing it? Good question. Good question. We need to ask Dale.
He's probably still pushing it because he's got people like what's her name up there, Paula, whatever, you know, telling him, "Hey, this is what the Lord is telling me. You should keep pushing this." Yeah, I understand it, but I wouldn't compare apples and oranges. Most of these pastors who are pushing it are
should know
are
better.
Wolves and sheep
should know blood. Better, Dale. They should know better, right? I should know better. Okay, so listen, I want to shift gears here real quickly because I want to get Ohio Bread in here, and we want to talk with you a little bit today about the January 6th Celebrate Freedom Day. Now, we've been kind of slow launching this thing. We need, hey, folks, there's 128 with just in the queue in here today. We need you. We need all of you here, 128. And click on Learn About Celebrate Freedom Day, Spence, if you could click on that. Brett, you want to come in and talk a little bit about this, brother, what we're trying to do? That we've been working behind the scenes, getting the website up to date, getting all the information on the website. But we want Celebrate Freedom Day, January 6, 2022. This is an action we can all take. Meaning what? I don't care who you are. If you are in this queue right now or if you're listening to this show right now, you can organize an event in your hometown. It could be at your church. It could be at your school. It could be at the city council. It could be on a street corner at Broad and High. Wherever it is, we need you to help us promote this January 6th, Celebrate Freedom Day. Folks, apolitical, no Trump signs, no MAGA signs, no Republican signs. This is a time when we are trying to bring together Americans. We will unite on the day in our local communities. Brett, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Coach, I'd love to talk about it. Good morning, team. What another great call. And it was awesome to be on with Peter McCullough. August 9th, Coach, you were on there sounding the alarm to everybody.
August 9th.
I'm so glad your friend is finally seeing
unbelievable.
It. But Celebrate Freedom Day, hosted by the ChristianRevolution.net, Coach Dave and Ohio Brett. It is so exciting that now Juan O'Savin put together that original Zoom on August 9th, and he's also behind the scenes connecting us to national associations that are going to push it out as well. So we want to encourage you to pray about it and join us and become a local leader. And I'd like to read this because words matter. We will unite on this day in our local communities for God, family, country, sports, and freedom. Your invitation has arrived. We the people are uniting like never before in our inner cities, suburbs, and rural areas all over America. We have way more in common than our differences. We the people have equal love for God, family, country, sports, and freedom. January 6th, join us as we lay down our political differences on Celebrate Freedom Day by standing up together to those who hate America and are trying to undermine our country by dividing us. We can break free from this wicked agenda.
Amen.
Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. And then we ask the question, Coach, we need to ask the question, what really happened to America? And then you can finish reading it and sign up on the bottom, and we will send you a leadership packet. It's going to be an amazing day.
Scroll down a little bit, Spencer, if you could there. This is so easy. If you're interested in leading an event in your area, boom, here's all you got to do so that we can connect everybody together. We ought to have some of you fill this form out right now. We collect your name, your last name, your email address, because we want to be able to send information out to all of you, update all of you. Here's what we're doing. You can communicate with us. You can ask questions on us. We believe that this thing is going to spread like we have never seen. Folks, our only hope is the arise of the Christian America. It's our only hope. It's our only hope. Now, a revolution means what? To turn something over. To turn something over. See, a revolution can be a good thing. Do any of you ever out there do what do they call those things when you put it on the over the oven and you spin that thing, the rotisserie? So we've got the Christian rotisserie going on. We're going to write this thing up. It's not a revolution is that we want to get guns and knives and go overthrow the government. No, 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 no. We're going to exert our Christian authority. That's all this thing is about. And if you think that there, look, folks, look at the deception that we've had just on COVID. Think of the years of deception that some of the people who are voting Democrat, think of the deception that they've heard for years and years and years. And I know this. I know many Democrats who voted for Joe Biden, who simply want to be left alone, live free, have their guns, and be safe. That's all they want. That's where most of America lives. But see, they've done a great job of coming in and divide and conquering us. Oh, you're a Trump supporter? Oh, you're a Democrat? And boom, boom. And so they focus on the things that divide us. And those of us, as Brett says, in the middle, those of us in the middle, we're fighting against each other when we ought to be on the same daggone team. And I continue to use the line, there's not a Democrat in America that goes to bed at night hoping his son is homecoming queen. Nobody does that, friends. Nobody does that. So our goal at the ChristianRevolution.net is to turn that rotisserie over and let's roll Jesus back on top of this big loaf that we're cooking in there. Let's get Christ and his standards back on up there. We so outnumber. Do you know that the statistics show that over 60% of people today still consider themselves Christian? And when you mention the word Christian, the average person thinks that's them. They don't know what it means to be a Christian. Not really. Not like we do. But they think if they were going to have for $1,000 mark a religion on their tax form, they would put Christian. Do you understand it, folks? And so the idea of the Christian revolution, see, some of the, I think about this often, our black churches, I even hate that term. The black churches we know are voting about 80% Democrat, at least 80. And yet they love the same Lord I love. And they're not for homosexuality. And they're not for abortion. And they're not, a lot of them still have strong, they live like I live, except their skin color is different, right? And what is it everybody's trying to do? Focus on skin color, because that's the obvious division. Well, the Christian revolution, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Come on, folks. Come on. Let me ask you this. If you don't organize this in your local community, who's going to? You say, well, coach, what if I do it and nobody shows? Well, you're obedient to the Lord. But you mean to tell me you can't start right now and start working the phones and your friends and get 10 of them out there, 20 of them out there? You can't go to your church. You can't get your church, your pastor, to help support you in getting, asking him to come and say a prayer. You can't do that. Come on, man. We can't let them hide anymore. We've got to flush the Christians out. We got to flush them out. We got to flush them out. That's what this whole event is about. And we believe the Lord's going to really, really smile. Kathy, come on in.
Okay, coach. There's something that's really bothering me about this whole thing, and I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
As long as these people, these patriots, are rotting away in prison, how can we be celebrating freedom?
Well, that'll be at the heart of what we're talking about here, right? But you have to understand this, Kathy. First of all, we're not using the term patriot. That has become a lousy, lousy word. Because I'm going to tell you what. The people, as Brett would say, on the near left, they think they're patriots. They think they are. But we've taken the word patriot, and now that means what? Far right. And that's not what it means. And I couldn't agree with you more that we have to get those guys out of prison. Do you have a plan to do it, Kathy? Are we going to go marching back into Washington, D.C. again? Are we going to fall into that trap again? How about if we pick up our phone and call Jim Jordan and say, hey, Jim Jordan, why the hell are those guys still in prison? Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Is the Christian body rising up and say, well, no, no. Why? Because we're divided. Patriots. Well, if I'm a patriot and you voted Democrat, does that mean you're not a patriot? Is that what I'm telling you? See, patriot has been given a negative connotation by the media again. What is a patriot? A patriot's somebody that loves their country.
Right. Right.
Michelle.
That's a great idea, Coach. I think incorporated into January 6th could be, we could be calling our representatives and asking them, why has it been it's almost a year now, why are these guys still locked up without any reason?
That's right. And see, Rochelle, what I think they want us to do, they want us to come back to D.C. They want us to come back because they use that against us. But what are they going to do in our local communities if we're just standing out there with American flags and Cleveland Brown flags and Appeal to Heaven flags? No MAGA flags. No. We are celebrating freedom. Brad, help me out here.
Hey, Kathy and Rochelle, you asked the right question. That's the heart of what we're asking. What really happened to America? And there's lots of points we can make. What really happened to our election process? What really happened on January 6th?
What really happened to the family? What really happened in our schools?
To the church, coach. To the church. The list goes on. But just trust Coach and I. We have the plan. And like Coach is going to call great plays, we're not just getting people in parking lots in all 50 states. We're going to call plays to run. That's why we're gathering and uniting together in the middle, both right and left.
Amen. Would you all agree with me that the term patriot, that's a right term, isn't it? Only patriots are on the right. Right? Come on, man. My brother's voted Democrat every election since he's been able to vote. And ain't no more of a patriot than him. He's a patriot. But see, we use that term. Boy, he's a try to come and take his guns. Try to come and get my brother Dan's guns. He's a patriot. He loves America. But he's got the mindset, I'm on this team rather than on that team. And he's not. We're on the same team. Get what we're trying to show you here? Get what we see? We have to counter the influences of the media. I'm running into people. I don't know about you. The phone call, the text message I got, I'm running into people every day who are saying, Coach, you were right. You were right. How did you, anybody else? Is that happening to anybody else besides me? Coach, you've been saying that text message I got yesterday. Why? Because ultimately truth will win out. I hear the Holy Spirit. Okay. Hang on a second. Hey, Spencer. Joe, come on in. While Joe's coming in, Spencer, do me a favor. Get up that my computer froze up here. I've been screaming too much. Pull up the link that from 1990, what does it say, 2000? That one I send alone commentary, Spence. You know what I'm talking about. Come on in, Joe. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Go ahead.
Okay. We don't know what a patriot is. Okay. And
that's right.
A true patriot. I mean, go back to the founding. We had people who loved England and the rule. You know, they felt secure in it. And then we have people who felt, what's the word I'm looking for? They felt used by it. Okay. And not free. Okay. We're feeling the same thing today.
Amen.
It's just that we have to, like I said, the Lord gave me that issue on Patriot that just floored me because it helps people to see the truth.
Amen.
Patriot, people assembled to reinstate independence over tyranny.
Amen, Joe. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight, friends.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I'm just telling you, I know I'm all over. I know I'm all over it. And see, again, patriot is a term that's been given to the right to keep the left from getting involved. You are you with me? Now, this sounds like self-promotion, but I just got prompted by the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to do it. Somebody sent me this out of the blue. Out of the blue, they sent this to me. Said, Coach, you were all over it. You've been all over it. So what? He said, yeah, here's your commentary from News with Views, November 29th, 2012. What? I saw this. And what? November, are you ready? You tell me if we haven't been over the target. If what I'm talking about with you today hasn't been birthed in my heart, I don't even know how long ago. November 29th, 2002. That's 9 years ago. Sometimes I think that maybe no one is listening, but I know that isn't true. More likely they're hearing, but they're not moving. Goliath is big, and most Christians have no stones to sling. Truth is a stone they can sling. They just don't know it. Not political truth, not the kind that the truth detector espouses 3 hours a day on AM radio, but real truth, life-altering truth, simplistic truth that can change the world. But real truth doesn't sell. In fact, it usually hurts, but nothing sets one free as much as knowing the truth. Jesus is the truth. He's more than a savior, more than a name on a coin, more than someone in whom we trust. Jesus is the incarnation of truth. Apart from him, everything else is an opinion, a mere shadow of truth. Truth is not opinion. Truth is a person. But most Americans, as Jack Nicholson famously said, can't handle the truth. 2012. I'm Okay, You're Okay was a best-selling book published in the 60s. It was the first of a genre of self-help books. It sold millions of copies. Those psychobabble books paved the way for humanism's stealth emergence as the religion of the 21st century. Like most counterfeits, it looked authentic and probably did help folks make it through their daily lives. But it was a lie. I'm not okay, and neither are you. And until we deal with that truth, America and Americans will continue to spiral down to a modern-day version of the Planet of the Apes. This feel-good theology was popularized by Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, handed off to pseudo-Christian Zig Ziglar, See at the Top, and Robert Schuller, Move Ahead with Positive Possibility Thinking. This deadly witch's brew of humanistic Christianity created the wave of author mega pastors like Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, Joel Osteen, Your Best Life Now, to present a sugar-coated, watered-down, sin-free version of the gospel. Ask yourself this. Why is it that CNN loves to give Osteen so much face time? Could it be that the media is doing their best to present to most biblically challenged Americans the lie that the gospel of Rodney King, why can't we all just get along, is the true version of Christianity? Could it be that CNN wants to erode and pacify Christians by presenting Pastor Glitterteeth as the establishment approved, who am I to judge, spokesman for the religiously weak? This is powerful, isn't it? Give me an hour in front of Piers Morgan and I'll rattle their cages. Have you ever seen a combative Christian appear on any national TV show? Where's the Christian version of James Carville? Where are the Christian truth bomb throwers willing to fight for our side? Please understand the deception. Jesus is not a tolerant go along to get along. I'm okay. You're okay. If it feels good, do it. Come sit on my lap, passive savior. A rude awakening. There it is. Erates many that subscribe to this thinking. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. He's a conquering king who will return in righteousness. He's going to judge and make war. He will not share his power, authority, or glory with another, and you can take that to the bank. That, my friends, is the truth. Why are Christians too intimidated to declare it? Why do we allow so many lies to go unchallenged? 2012. Islam is not a peaceful religion, although some Muslims may be peaceful. Muslims and Christians do not serve the same God. Islam teaches submit or die. Jesus teaches submit and live. Number two, it is not anti-Semitic to criticize Jews. Some Jews are very bad people who hate Jesus. No better authority than the Apostle Paul warned us that not all Israel are of Israel. John, the book of Revelation, which says that they are Jews who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Why is it considered anti-Semitic to point out that the entertainment media conglomerates are controlled by adherents to Judaism? Is speaking the truth racist now? Negroes are no more African-American than I'm European-American. Most Negroes have never set foot outside of the good old U.S. of A. Why is black pride good, but white pride racist? And there are many Caucasians that are also African Americans. They're from South Africa. The establishment Republican Party brokers hate conservative Christians. The Democratic Party brokers hate the Christian God. The Democratic platform of 2012 rejected God. They became the anti-God party. Christians need to form their own political party. Number five, all voters are value voters. It's what they value that makes all the difference. Negroes vote their skin color over Christianity. Obama's the most pro-abortion president in history, and 95% of Negroes voted for him. Why? Abortion is murder. Christian blacks voted for murder. Most pastors are hirelings. They're ineffective outside the security of their four walls. Nothing has destroyed American values more than government schools. Yet not one pastor in 1,000 will speak out against government schools. The average pastor makes $80,000. Not a bad gig. That's 9 years ago. No wonder they won't rock the boat, government's boat. Best life now, anyone? Seven, if you think Black Friday crowds were aggressive, wait until the government checks stop. Number eight, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity had almost no impact in the recent election. That would have been 2012. Both are Republican mouthpieces. Sorry if you can't see that. Christians are starting to see through them. Give me 3 hours a day on national radio and I'll create a movement. Liberalism requires no thinking. It is as natural as breathing air. A Harvard professor and junior high school student both think alike. I'm going to say that again. A Harvard professor and a junior high school student both think alike. Christianity requires thought. It teaches that seeing is not necessary for believing, and that believing does not require seeing. Atheism believes nothing. Macroevolution is faith with nothing at the beginning. Believing in nothing is impossible. America's in the fiscal free fall because we're in a moral free fall. We went over the moral cliff before we went over the fiscal cliff. Spending more than you have is a moral issue, not a fiscal one. My dad would never have left his bills to his grandkids as Congress has done today. And number 11, can you name any other creature our government has made legal to kill other than an unborn baby? Can you kill a puppy? Can you kill a deer? Can you kill a spotted owl? Can you a snail darter? At least for animals, you need a permit. Got to get a license. Women's liberation movements have created promiscuous women and irresponsible men. The unborn are the poker chips in this devil's wager. Ultimately, the cultural war is a moral war. It is morality that defines a culture. Changing the morality changes the culture. Multiculturalism has done to America what AIDS does to the human body. There is no American culture anymore. Christian morality is the only protection against cultural AIDS. Humanism is to Christianity what kryptonite is to Superman. Well, have you noticed that they're sandblasting the Ten Commandments off buildings and replacing them with nothing? Fighting is not evil. Not fighting evil is evil. Godly men have abandoned the field in the battle for truth. Evil rules when evil men make the rules.
Amen.
Conservatism is a salt substitute. Conservatism makes salt taste sweet. Conservatism does to Christianity what aspartame does to Diet Coke. Aspartame is a poison that is 200 times sweeter than sugar. A little dab will do you. It makes the medicine go down, disguises the natural taste of things. The salt has lost its savor. Most Christians are good for nothing.
Boom.
Is that unbelievable, friends? 9 years ago. 9 years ago. Come on in, Brett. P.A. Brett. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm patting myself on the back. That's prophetic, boys.
Morning,
that's 9 years ago. Go, Brett.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I don't understand the part where the sports comes into play.
Brett, where's sports come into play? Hey, can I tell you the truth? It's a hook. It's a hook. Ohio shut down for the Ohio State-Michigan game. Everybody.
Okay, I just I look at
that's a great question. Hey, what happens on our sports teams? There's people that are center. They vote right and they vote left. And we got way more in common than our differences. And the theme is who can attack us waving an American flag? Who can attack us waving an appeal to heaven flag? Who can attack us waving a Pittsburgh Steeler or Buffalo Bills or your local high school or an Ohio State flag? We are showing unity. And
folks,
the fabric of our lives.
Cleveland Browns fans are both Republican and Democrat, both patriots and not patriots, folks. That's the hook, Brett.
But you know, I look at football, especially pro football, as the days of the Romans with the games. It addicts people.
Brett. But yeah. That's where they are, Brett. That's where they are. They're already addicted, Brett.
All right. So what about putting the nurses on there? What about putting doctors on there? What about putting other professions on there?
Putting them on what?
Including them with the statement with the sports.
Okay. Well, who? I could put 20 names on there. Do we want 20 names on there?
Hey, that's a fair question. Please go to thechristianrevolution.net and read our open letter to the world. There are six categories that we're giving grants out in: lawfare, health and wellness, medical, standing up for Jesus, sports, music, education. And we're much more than just a grant-making organization. We're in the truth business, getting out the truth at the local level. And sports gets us in our high schools, our colleges, and the pros. It gets us to the fans. It gets us to everybody.
Well, I will do my best to promote and be a part of January 6th. I just don't agree with the sports. So, okay.
Good. Not cool. Go ahead. Good.
Hey, Brett, have you read, Brett? Have you read the letter yet? No, nobody has yet. Be patient, be coachable, and show up.
Chad, come on in.
Hey, man. Well, I was just saying, Brett, you know, both the PA Brett and all that, that we're just trying to find the smallest piece of unity. You know, that's real simple. There's some people they have sports, but that's why they have there's a broad spectrum of things. And you have your own individual event. And if you don't want to have sports there, don't have it.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not your group or whatever you need it, you know.
The Friday night is the most unifying night in small towns all across America. Friday football, Friday night. It's where everybody is. We are not promoting sports. We're reaching out to sports. Bernie.
Yeah, I was just backing up to your thing about Africans. It's just people don't realize that Augustine of Hippo, all right, one of our premier theologians, was African, okay? He was from Carthage, from Hippo, North Africa. And so don't tell me this is all European stuff. But the thing is that the gospel went to India. The gospel went to Africa. It was received, and it wasn't because we were white. It's because we received the gospel, all right? Mm-hmm. And because the gospel changed us. And it will transform anyone. God made all of these people. So you're right, red and yellow, black and white. I'm not ashamed of what I am. Well, I'm ashamed of my sin, all right. But God will make us clean. That's and don't tell me you're against slavery if you're not against the national debt, because debt is servitude. Okay.
Well, Bernie, slavery comes in a lot of different ways, doesn't it? Public schools are slavery. You want to talk about slavery? How about the mask mandates? How about you, Kroger?
Yeah,
we just saw Kroger's firing people because they won't mask up. That's not slavery. That's not slavery. I don't know about you guys. Me. When I look at a black man, I don't think, God, he's black. I don't think that. In fact, I'm wondering, when I look at a black man, what's he thinking about me? That's where I am. Does he think I don't like him? Does he think I'm a race? What's that? That's when I see a black man, that's what I think. I wonder what he thinks about me. I don't think about him. I wonder what he thinks about me. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I'll say it again, like I said before. All this stuff is contrived by these Kabbalist weirdos trying to divide us and keep us divided by race, quote-unquote, and other things. And, you know, majority of white people in America, when they get up, they're not thinking about how can I screw a black person. They're thinking about trying to take care of their family, pay off their mortgage, you know, do well in their job. They're not thinking about trying to mess people over.
And celebrate freedom.
It's all been done to keep us divided. Even in churches, they're trying to divide us.
You mean, Paul, you worry about your mortgage too, just like a white guy like me does? You mean you worry about feeding your family just like I do? Are you kidding me? But yeah, you and I can both go to an Ohio State football game and wave a Ohio State Buckeye flag together.
Coach, there is no racial problem. Look on like you talk about Friday night. Look at Saturday, Sunday. Black players, white players, hugging, jumping up and down.
That's right.
High fiving.
They've lied to us.
What's the common denominator? It's a team, and that's exactly what these weirdos are trying to do. They're trying to divide us because they know if we're unified, they're in trouble.
Amen. They're lying to us, baby. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, this would be a good example. And I'll be honest. At first, I wondered about the sports with this thing. I'm all in. We're going to do it. But here could be the scenario, like you said, a revolution. So if we use this example and it gets out across America, them guys sitting in that prison in D.C., in that jail, they'll say, man, they're rising up. You know, that could be heard across the country. I use the school board thing. Right now, the last few days, you know, I've done 4 different schools in one county. I think we've done like close to 20 meetings in 90 days. We're hitting every one of them. And our group of band of brothers here, Christians, are carrying our Bibles in these meetings. And these people are seeing it. And Tom Branson and I were eating dinner before we went up to Fredericktown. He said, JC, there's something on the internet about you. I'm like, oh no. I said, what? Usually it's negative. He started reading it. Some people on this website for protecting the children, whatever they call it, were thanking me and said, we just want to put a thank you out to Jeff Klein for coming to these meetings. He's been at every one. I'm like, are you serious? Somebody, they're actually noticing. Sometimes you get beat down. You think, are we doing any good? But they're doing, and they're
doing good, man. We're doing good. We got to go where they are. We have to go where they are. Listen, I got to play this just because it's great. We have to think outside the box. Pull up pro-choice men, if you can, real quick there, Spencer. This is off topic, but it isn't off topic, folks. We have got to learn to think outside the box. This is a video. You got to watch it. It's abortion. This is pro-choice men, tongue-in-cheek. All right, go ahead and play it.
Historic moment. Abortion rights are under attack in America. And it's important for all of us to raise our voices. Because abortion rights are pro-choice men's rights. I deserve to be free from any responsibility for some girl I get pregnant.
I deserve to enjoy sex without commitment, marriage, or parenthood.
It's ridiculous to think that just because I'm the father, I'm expected to be a dad. It's her body. And it's her choice. So don't be asking me for anything.
And look, I'm a caring guy. If I get a girl pregnant and then abandon her, I don't want to leave her alone with the kid, especially if she might chase me down for child support.
I deserve not to be shackled by kids to a woman my age. So when she gets older, I can upgrade to a younger model.
Guys, we're forgetting that abortion is mainly about a man's sexual freedom.
A woman's sex drive is far more tied to commitment and procreation than a man's. That's why women's sexuality scares me. Women need to submit to a pro-choice man's view of sex.
We need to make women understand that when they become pregnant, they're not really women anymore.
I'm not really interested in mothers, except my own, because she pays all my bills. Without abortion, I would have had to get a job. Abortion has allowed my girlfriend to chase her dreams of working 60 hours a week to pay for our bills, while I stay home and chase my dream of becoming a professional gamer, comedian, and social media influencer.
Why does she need me to take care of her and the kid anyway? It's the government's job to do that.
The role of the government is to make my irresponsible lifestyle sustainable. Abortions keep my girl's body looking right. Stretch marks? Ugh.
If I had to take care of a kid, I never would have been able to get my Tesla. My Tesla is my baby.
The other side will point out that abortion kills a human being. But my right to impregnate a woman and then leave her in the dust outweighs the baby's right to life. Women need the right to abortion because men deserve it. I deserve a woman's right to abortion. I deserve a woman's right to abortion.
I deserve a woman's right to abortion. Abortion is not really about what women want, and it never has been.
Abortion is about men,
pro-choice men.
So ladies, thanks for marching. Because you're not really marching for yourselves. You're marching for us.
Thanks for being obedient and submissive to what we want. Abortion rights are pro-choice men's rights.
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 Now, one time, I even drove my girl down to the clinic for her abortion. Because I'm a gentleman. And I make sacrifices like that for women.
Wow. Quickly, Reggie. Wow. Quickly, Reggie.
Coach, that's got to be satire, man.
Yep. Well, of course it is. Of course it is.
Wow.
No? Share that baby, huh? Share that baby. Candace, come in quickly.
Brilliant. Brilliantly done. Everything in there is absolute truth. I've been doing pro-life work for 14 years. I run a pregnancy center. This is exactly what men like that are thinking.
Amen. Think outside the box, folks. We got to think outside the box. We're winning. Everywhere you look, we're winning. Don't get discouraged. God bless you. See you tomorrow.